Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Hey, everybody. If you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace, because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store, whether you sell physical, digital, or service products. Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now, and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF, and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Hey, everybody, get this. We're coming probably to a city near you this year. We've got all of our shows scheduled, and Chuck's going to tell you about them right now.
That's right. We're going to be in Medford, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., and New York City on May 29th, 30th, and 31st.
Right.
Then we're going to be going to Chicago, Minneapolis, and Indianapolis on the 7th, 8th, and 9th of August.
Yeah.
And they're going to wind it up in Durham, North Carolina on the 5th of September, and then Atlanta on the 7th.
And tickets are on sale now. You can go to stuffyoushouldknow.com or go to linktree/SYSK. And we would love to see you there. Tickets are on sale now. So we'll see you soon.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and Jerry's here too, and we're just futzing around, having fun, doing what we do here on Stuff You Should Know.
That's right. Tech Stuff Edition.
It is. Hats off to John Strickland, who's still doing it all these years.
We're all still doing it.
I know. They won't let us stop.
My God, we're still doing it.
Yeah, I think he's in year 15 now.
He was... like shortly after us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Right on the heels. Bless I can always feel him breathing on our neck. It's Bless really gross. He has a very humid breath.
Gross.
So, the reason you said this is Tech Stuff Edition is because this is super techy. There's a lot of technical stuff that we're going to dance around. It's future facing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the kind of thing that everybody hopes will hurry up and come, but probably doesn't know very much about. So here we go. Tech stuff. Ahoy.
Everyone except me.
You don't want this?
I don't know. The whole time I was reading it, I was like, man, it just sounds like a lot of work to just not have to plug in your phone.
Yeah, it is a lot of work to just not have to plug in your phone. But I mean, haven't you ever like looked around your house and been like, these wires are just so stupid. Like, I hate having cords and stuff you have to plug in. You have to like put something where the outlet is, or else you have to use a drop cord. It's a little more of a pain if you stop and think about it than it appears, because we're used to it. We've lived under the tyranny of cords for so long, it's normal to us, but it's not normal, Chuck.
Oh, so you're thinking a future where nothing in your house is plugged in.
Precisely.
Oh, no. Sure. Great.
I can't wait for that day. I cannot wait for that. And not only that, there's the last thing we're going to talk about is what I'm really jazzed about.
Okay.
That's I don't want to spoil it, so don't bring it up, but everybody just stay with us through the end and you'll be rewarded.
Yeah. And what we're talking about is, wireless electricity, or more appropriately, wireless power transfer, because if you think about your cell phone that you can just sit on a little pad and charge it wirelessly.
Mm-hmm.
That thing's plugged into the wall. So what you're doing is you're transferring power from one thing to another.
But imagine if that charger, that pad that you lay your phone on,
is your house.
Or no, it was like mounted on the ceiling of your room.
Yeah.
And when you walked into that room, immediately your phone just started charging in your pocket. You turned your TV on, and it was going full blast, no problem. And then you look behind it, and you faint dead away because it's not even plugged in. And you think there's a ghost in your house, or God is messing with you.
I don't think it jazzes me like it jazzes you.
That's fine. I'm not going to try to convince you.
I've never looked behind a TV on a wall to look for cable, so.
Oh, well, then you haven't lived.
But we can talk about the history of it, right? Because this is not a new thing. People have been trying to do this basically since there was electricity.
Yeah, I would have traced it back to Tesla. Tesla was very famously very interested in trying to figure out how to create wireless electricity that he planned on sending through the earth from one end to the other. Basically a global wireless electrical network, right? He didn't, as we'll see. But what I didn't realize is it predates him even.
Yeah, before him, there was a German physicist named Heinrich Hertz, who he was the guy who said, hey, electromagnetic waves are a thing. I can prove it.
Yep.
And he was able to send energy in the form of radio waves from between two antennas in the 1880s, which predated Tesla's little party trick that I think all of us probably saw in science class, or not saw, but read about in science class.
Saw on The Prestige.
Yeah, at some point where he's like, I'm going to make this light bulb light up Uncle Fester style. Except I won't even put it in my mouth.
Right. And it was a different light bulb. It was the predecessor of the fluorescent light. So the gases, when they came into the presence of either a magnetic field or electrical current, it would glow. It would light up. But he did actually demonstrate this. He showed that you can...
He loved it.
You can wirelessly power things. And yeah, this is still the 19th century. There's a legend that a lot of times is repeated as fact by a lot of legitimate sources, but supposedly there's no actual evidence of this happening. There's a legend that he lit up a crop of light bulbs, like I think 25 miles away from his research station in Colorado. And that would be like the far and away the longest transmission of wireless power in history. No one's even come close to that here in the 21st century. So they think that it probably didn't happen, but he was trying to do that, but he didn't actually do it.
I have a question.
Sure.
You remember what's it called when you say like a gaggle of geese or whatever? We did that short stuff on it. Or whatever. You just said a crop of light bulbs. Is that the term for a lot of light bulbs?
I say it is, sure.
Oh, okay. I thought that
something was a pronoun. Was it a collective pronoun?
I don't know. But did you just make that up or is that a thing?
I mean, it just came out of my mouth.
Oh, okay.
Do you like it?
Sure.
All right, I'll start using it.
Sounds like you're growing light bulbs out in a field or something.
Like next ready time for I go harvest. To buy light bulbs, they'll say, you got a crop of light bulbs here I can buy?
I love it. I mean, that's probably a use for crop I just didn't know about.
I will say, hey, man, Clark me a crop of light bulbs.
So Tesla's got his party tricks happening. May or may not have done this to a crop of light bulbs over a greater distance. Mm-hmm. World War II rolls around, and all of a sudden we're using radar and we're learning how to generate like more improved and more directional and precise beams of microwaves and things like that. Mm-hmm. And in 1964, and you can watch this video on YouTube, it's kind of fun to watch, a William Brown of Raytheon kept up a little sort of, it's a helicopter. It looks like it's made out of a Rector set maybe.
Yeah.
About 60 feet off the ground for 10 hours with no wires.
Yeah. And they could have gone longer, but the novelty wore off, so he just stopped after 10 hours.
Yeah. He's like, all right, does everyone get it?
Right. Can we go home now?
Like, how many times do I have to pass this hula hoop over it?
Right, right. So that was a huge, huge accomplishment. And I believe the same William Brown of Raytheon created another record that stood from 1975 until, from what I can tell, this past January, like a month ago. In 1975, NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab transmitted, I think, 35 kilowatts of power. And like 50% of what they transmitted, I think a quarter of a mile away or something like that, was received and lit up another crop of light bulbs. That's what people do. They light up crops of light bulbs when they're demonstrating
what better
wireless
way?
Electrical transmission.
Because they light up and everyone's like, ooh.
Yeah. And actually, I'm sorry, it was more than a quarter mile. I think it was basically a slat mile. It was like 1.54 kilometers.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a really long way. And it stood from 1975 till 2024, almost 50 years. And then I believe the Korean Space Agency just broke it by like 0.3 kilometers.
Oh, really?
So it's not like we've jumped by leaps and bounds. Yeah, and yeah. Almost, if I were William Brown, I'd be like, really? You couldn't
right.
just wait until you could beat it by like 10 times that?
Yeah, that's not very sportsmanlike.
No, it's like if you made the world's biggest bagel.
Right.
And somebody made another world's biggest bagel by like 10 more pounds. What's the point? Are we really just going to go back and forth year after year with a new world's biggest bagel? No. You need to really like double it up at least before you break somebody's record. It's just common courtesy.
You know how to really get their goat is just drop one extra poppy seed on top.
Oh, man.
Just has more mass.
Man, I would just start bleeding out of my ears.
So this can happen in a couple of ways, and who knows what the future holds. We are going to get to that stuff, like you were talking about, like you walk in and everything's just like charging the second you enter.
Mm-hmm.
But these days we have what's called near field and what I like to call further afield, but far field wireless transfer. When you think near field, you're already doing that. If you have an electric toothbrush, if you have a modern smartphone that can wirelessly charge. We'll talk about the two different ways those are happening, but those are examples of near field. And I think a lot of people, like I was, are amazed to know that when you put that little electric toothbrush on its stand,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm wrong, that little nubbin is only there to keep that thing upright. It's not conducting electricity at all, is it?
As far as I know, no, because the whole thing's fully sealed. So the electricity is going from plastic to plastic.
Via waves. So it looks like a little like a charging stump, but you could just assume lay it down on top of that thing, right?
I don't know. I think for an electric toothbrush, what we're talking about at this point is called wireless induction charging.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of principle that you use for an induction cooktop. Magnetic fields are generated that create an electric current that's passed to another coil on the mm-hmm. other side that's received, and then that's attached to a battery that gets recharged, right? And I think for something like a toothbrush, it has to be really precise. So the coils have to basically line up as close to one another as possible, but they don't have to physically touch, which is why you can encase it in plastic and seal it off and use it for an application that's around water, like an electric toothbrush. But I
okay.
do think that has to be precise.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
you can get a little more jiggy with it with the resonant induction charging, where the coils are bigger or there's more coils, but they also have, I don't know how they do this, but they make the frequencies that come out of one coil and go in or received by the other perfectly in sync, so that the coils are basically tuned to one another. So you can actually keep something a little further away and still get a charge out of it.
Okay, so I was wrong then. That stump serves the purpose of probably aligning it perfectly.
Probably.
Although it's not actually, you know, like a charging stump. You probably could not just set your toothbrush down with the butt in near that stump. You know what I'm saying?
No, but if you're talking about like your phone on like a pad charger, you just
right.
kind of set it down.
Sure, sure.
It'll still charge even though it's not like perfectly centered on the charger. Depending on the type of charging station.
Yeah, and I have seen those to be fairly hit or miss through the years.
Yes.
The little charging pads, sometimes they work. Sometimes you got to move your phone around it. And it makes more sense now that I know how it works, why you may have to move your phone around. And it's also slower than like a wall charge, which, you know, is one of the humps to get over that we'll get to.
It is, and they have basically gotten over that hump. So for a while, I didn't realize this, but Nokia was the first to be like, hey, everybody, check out our wireless charging pad.
2012.
Back in 2012, I had no idea.
Yeah, same.
And that set off like a whole stampede where every phone company wanted to create a wireless charging pad, right? And so everybody was coming up with different protocols, different structures on how to make this happen. And finally, a group called the Wireless Power Consortium basically emerged with their Qi standard, QI, like the Chinese traditional medicine concept of the life force that flows through everything.
Yeah, like Qigong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's also associated with this wireless power transfer to where everybody builds it the exact same way, right? So that's pretty cool. But it wasn't, you had to get it pretty much dead on to get a decent charge out of it. And like you said, it transferred far less power. I think about 5 watts rather than the standard 15, 18 or more that you get from plugging your phone in.
Yeah.
So they came up with Qi 2.0. And you know the new Apple chargers that like snap onto the back of your phone with a magnet?
No.
Oh, really? Do you have an iPhone?
I do.
Is it fairly new?
Let me see. I usually get like every third or fourth version.
Okay, you may or may not have this. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what. If you told me the which one it was, I'd be like, oh, well, actually, I don't know. So I don't know why I even asked you that. But the newer iPhones.
I got the 13.
Yeah, that should have it. I think that's what I have too. Yeah, it is. And it works. So there's a type of charger you can get called a MagSafe charger.
Yeah, yeah, I got that.
Okay, so then you have what I'm talking about. It snaps into place, so like magnet, it holds the phone in place, right?
Yeah, I got one of those in my car.
Okay, so what that's doing is it's holding the coil to the coil so that in addition to them being powerful and tuned to the same frequency, they're also precisely interlocked, so the transfer of power is way more efficient. And now they're reaching like power transfer at like 15, 18, 20 watts. Just like you would have with a traditional like plug-in cord.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm not much of a buzz marketer. But I have to say, the car charger from Spiegel is what I use.
Like the catalog?
I don't know. It's Spiegel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't. Is that spelled the same?
Yeah, I believe so.
Spelled the same, I mean. Mm-hmm. Their charger, it's $50, and it works flawlessly, and it looks good, and it has
a pompadour.
Well, it sticks on, you know, but the little stick-on base is smaller than other ones I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know, sometimes your car, you can't get it in like a great place or whatever. But anyway, I think it works great, and so I do actually use this technology.
Very nice. Okay.
MagSafe.
So you have that. But the thing is we've actually kind of gone backwards in that sense where you're getting more power transfer, again, wirelessly. Like you're not plugging your phone into anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's laying on something that is connected to a power source, but your phone's not plugged in. So it is wireless power transfer. But rather than making it easier to just toss your phone onto a pad or a table or something like that and it immediately starts charging, it has to be more precise, hence the magnets.
Sure.
We want to be going in the opposite direction to where your phone doesn't even really have to be anywhere near that charging pad to get a charge. And that's where people are moving toward. But the cool thing about the Qi 2.0 is that this protocol is spreading out so that if you had, say, like an Android phone and iPhone, you would be able to use the same charger for both, which is brand new. That's a new thing. And that's a really great way for the industry to be going because it cuts down on packaging, cuts down on manufacturing, it cuts down on all sorts of stuff, cost. So it's a good direction to be going in.
Yeah, and divided houses can come together once again.
Exactly.
This kind of charging, there is a future application that might be kind of cool if you drive an electric car to where you pull in your garage and you just pull over a charging mat, much like your telephone, basically. To where you wouldn't have to plug it in or whatever. Again, for me, it's like it's no trouble to plug something in, so it's not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine these little conveniences are a big deal to a lot of people.
For sure. I think the one that I'm really excited about is like that plus application, which is putting those kind of coils that transmit electricity wirelessly to a receiver coil in your car.
Mm-hmm.
In asphalt. So when you're driving on the highway, your car is actually charging. That would do it. That would do it for gas engine cars. People, you would have to just be a total jerk to have like a internal combustion engine after that point, because that's the big problem with it. Like, do you remember that stupid electric car that I rented in Seattle and drove to Portland? And I had to sit for 45 minutes in this little town doing nothing but waiting for the stupid rental car to charge. That is no way to live. But if I had just been able to drive down, what is that, five? The five? Isn't that what they call it?
Nah, I think that's a California thing.
Okay, well, if I had just been able to drive down I-5 and my car's charging the whole time, perfect. There's no reason for any fossil fuel car any longer.
Now, is the idea there that every road in America is redone with charging capabilities underneath it?
What I would guess is you would probably just need to do one lane and then
maybe only on expressways or something.
Right. So one lane on an expressway, and you, like, if your car has over some amount of charge, like the cultural folkway would be you don't go on that lane. You leave it open for people who really need to charge their car.
That'll go over well.
Exactly.
In the United States. That'll become the look at that jerk lane.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll be like the new driving slow in the fast lane thing.
I look forward to that day. I'm going to be old and feeble, and you can send me updates on how things are going from the road.
But you just need one lane like that on a stretch of highway, and I think that would do it at least at first.
All right.
We get this done like tomorrow.
All right. But in the meantime, we should take a break.
Okay.
Because we're going to have to buy some tools.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today.
All right, so we're back. Josh is, oh boy, look at the smile on your face thinking about driving untold miles without having to stop.
I mean, it's just going to change everything, Chuck.
You're peeing in a Gatorade bottle. You're not stopping for nothing.
No, no way.
Just think of the Cannonball Run.
I'm just going to take this opportunity, all right? But yes, the Cannonball Run would work really well with that.
Yeah.
I see this enough that I feel like this is worth mentioning. If you ever find yourself in an emergency situation where you have to pee into a water bottle or a Mountain Dew bottle or something like that, that's fine. That's fine. Like, that is a thing you have to do sometimes. I never have, but people do it, and I get it. But you don't leave that on the side of the road for somebody else to pick up. That is yours to hang on to until you're able to dispose of it in the trash where it belongs.
Yeah.
Put the cap on, get it out of your way, make sure it doesn't spill or anything like that. But you do not set that outside of your car until it goes into the trash. That is, it's tied for first with throwing your dental floss stick down on the ground for someone else to pick up.
Yeah. The only time I will do that is camping. If it's rainy or really, really cold and I'm in my tent, I will have the forethought to bring an appropriate bottle.
Smart.
So I can just get out of my sleeping bag and, you know, and pee pee in the bottle.
A big wide mouth bottle, am I right?
And then I just leave it there in the woods.
No.
No, of course not.
Okay, good. Okay. I was shocked.
All right. So we're back and we're getting started now on far field wireless transfer, because your phone on your nightstand, that's great. Driving over a mat in your garage would be amazing. But you really are cooking with gas, as they say, ironically, not with gas. If you can start figuring out how to do this over longer and longer frequencies, and they are figuring that stuff out by ways of electromagnetic waves, or which, you know, what you do is you send it out as an electromagnetic wave.
Mm-hmm.
It transmits it as a beam, and then it converts it to power, or through laser beams.
Yes. So you can do laser, you can do millimeter waves, you can do, I think microwaves are the big ones.
That's a big one.
Because they're electromagnetic waves, so they're an energy carrier. And all you need is a way to convert electricity to electromagnetic energy, and then a way to convert it back on the other side. And then you've just transmitted power from a distance. That's
like
what they're working
on. This is possible already, right? They just
absolutely
haven't figured out a great consumer application because it's not efficient or great,
right,
or cheap.
That's the problem. It's not cheap and it's inefficient. So yeah. Yes, I believe there are consumer products out there, just a handful of them, that you can spend a lot of money on and be like, look, this thing's charging. It takes 48 hours to get to 5%, but it's right, charging wirelessly. That's where we're at right now, but it is possible. People have figured it out. But just like with that Qi protocol with like the charging pads.
Yeah.
The industry's in the same place right now with figuring out a common protocol for everybody to use now. So it's kind of the Wild West. Any they're trying to figure out the best way to efficiently do it and also safely do it, as we'll see.
Yeah, and one application they can use it on today that does make sense, and Livia dug this up and helped out, and this one makes a lot of sense, with RFID tags, radio frequency identification tags.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you've probably heard of these. There's all kinds of applications for these, but one of the big applications is if you have like a warehouse full of stuff,
mm-hmm,
instead of having a barcode on every single thing that you have to walk up to with a barcode scanner, like several inches away or whatever,
mm-hmm,
you can track your inventory more efficiently because it can, if you do it through RFID, you can group things together. You can scan a bunch of stuff at once. You can, right, scan it from, you know, 3, 4, 5 feet away, maybe. You don't have to be right there up on it. So using this technology to have little RFID tags that don't require batteries is a realistic application.
Yeah, and you just said a mouthful with that. They don't require batteries, because that's a big reason why you would want to use something like wireless power transfer, is with the little RFID tags, they have an antenna in them, but they don't actually have any power. They're not internally powered. But when that radio wave hits it, it carries just enough energy,
mm-hmm,
to make contact with it, give it a little juice. There's a modulator inside that takes that radio wave and converts it back to shoot back out to the scanner with its number associated with it, all without batteries. It just uses, they figured out how to use that, the energy in that, yeah, electromagnetic wave in the form of radio waves. And so we're already doing this. Again, it's just really inefficient, but they're onto something with that, because, you know, we've entered the Internet of Things. I think we did a whole episode on that.
We did.
I'll bet that needs so much updating.
Yeah, probably so.
But all the little like sensors in your refrigerator, all the little little gadgets, the thing that connects your refrigerator to Wi-Fi now, all of these things are like really tiny little components.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller the component, the harder it is to put a decent battery in there. And you also kind of want a rechargeable battery too. But some of them don't have batteries. They still are going to report that, say, like you're running low on ketchup or something like that. Wireless energy would be able to do the same thing that we're doing with RFID tags, but with the little sensors and chargers that make up the Internet of Things, that make your home a smart home.
Yeah, or to not have to have follow-up surgeries to replace batteries in your pacemaker would be pretty remarkable.
Yeah, because that's another like really big part of this. In addition to like the whole gee whiz aspect of it and the no cords thing, which I'm really happy about, the bigger point in the near term is that it will do away with disposable batteries. All we'll have is rechargeable batteries if we have any batteries at all. Some things won't need it, but things that do need a battery to keep going without a power source, those will be rechargeable and they'll be more easily replenished with wireless power transmission. So you can say goodbye to buying batteries at the store. They'll just be gone and the earth will breathe a deep, deep, happy sigh.
Yeah, well, that is, and now we're getting into sort of your utopia, which is these companies that are exploring initially probably like a room system and then eventually a whole home system, to where what you described at the beginning of the show would be possible, where you can walk in your house. Mm-hmm. The second you walk in, your phone is charging in your pocket. Your if you have a smart home and you have like powered blinds on your windows, those are always charged. They're not plugged in. If you have remote controls for your TV and everything else in your home, they actually have a tiny battery made by the company. Mm-hmm. In this case, I mean, we can go back and talk about Guru, but there's a company called Osia Inc., Ossia, mm-hmm. and they have a system called the COTA system, COTA. And that's the idea, is you have a unit in your house. It looks sort of like a, it's a little smaller than a board game and a little more square.
Yeah.
And it's just a little transmitting stand, and it shoots power across the room. It bounces it around. And you have receivers that are attached to your devices. Like your receiver would be built into your phone case,
right,
in the case of a phone, or they're making what they're calling forever batteries, which is a little AA battery that actually has a tiny receiver in it. So that remote control battery will never die.
Right.
And it essentially just makes any device in your house compatible with this transmitter. The one thing I wondered about, though, was like, well, when is Duracell going to buy them out and just shut it down?
Oh, man, I hope we don't run into something like that. I mean, big battery is a major threat to democracy, true. But I don't know. I don't know. I think these other startups have some pretty good clout, too.
Well, should we talk about Guru then?
Sure.
Jump back a little.
Guru got together with Motorola, and 2 years ago, they debuted basically a charger, an over-the-air charger, a wireless power charger that was very similar in design, it seems like, to that COTA charger. And it can, I think, charge 4 phones at once up to 10 feet away with a 100-degree field of vision, which is pretty cool. It's still not out to market. I think people are like, yeah, but you guys didn't mention how efficient it is. Like, how many watts does it transfer? And Motorola was like, stop asking questions. And they went back to the drawing board. But the COTA stuff seems like it's so close, it might actually already be available in some areas.
I didn't see it for sale yet, but I might be wrong.
They are touting their wireless power security camera, the Archos, ARCHOS.
Now, that's a good use.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because if you don't, if you have a house where you didn't have like your, if you have security cameras, whatever, you didn't have them built in and wired initially, and you're just like, oh, I want to get a Nest cameras or right, any other brand, like you got to plug those things in.
Yeah.
And if they're outdoor cameras, you're either running wire to an outdoor plug that mm-hmm. someone could just unplug.
Right.
Or you're drilling holes in your wall. So I think this is a really realistic, like worthy application.
It's part of like my week to go around and connect the charger, the outdoor charger, to the outdoor cameras and just top them off because they're not hardwired. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a great application. Now, imagine that for your TV.
Although, can I make one complaint real quick about sure. security cameras?
Yeah.
They're great to have. They can help out with different things and help out with neighbors. Hey, I saw someone in my, breaking into my car. Your neighbor has a camera pointing. Like, we can all help. But in my experience in Atlanta with car break-ins and house break-ins, I've had both. they don't help you catch anybody. They don't help stop anyone. So it's almost more like, hey, you want to watch some guys steal your stuff?
Right. Yeah.
Police can't really do much with them. And it certainly doesn't keep anyone from doing anything. So I don't know. It's good for more than just like break-in security. I think there are a lot of, if you have dogs and you're like, want to see what your dog's doing, is it eating the wrong thing or throwing up, or, you know, it's beneficial for a lot of different reasons, but catching a bad guy, in my experience, security cameras don't really help with that.
No. You're likelier to have some weird footage from your camera end up on the national news or America's Funniest Home Videos.
Exactly. Catch a UFO or something.
Yeah. 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 You are likelier to catch a UFO than somebody stealing packages off of your porch with your security camera.
Sort of the real deal here is like one day when they can come up with a system where it's built into Amtrak and subways and airports. So all of these sort of heavily used public spaces are just charging everyone's everything.
Yes. And the problems are the same with the wireless, like phone charging. Just across the board, anytime we're talking about wireless power transfer, it's the inefficiency is what's the big stumbling block right now.
The bugaboo?
Yeah. The further you get away from the charger,
yeah,
the less power the receiver is getting. Yeah. The most I've seen, I think that Archos security camera gets like less than a watt 30 feet away at its maximum distance, which is still, I mean, 30 feet's a decent.
Is that enough to power it?
I think as long as it had, you probably would have to charge it first, plug in when you first get it. And then if it had continuous contact and was constantly receiving it, uh-huh. I don't know. I would hope that they would design it so that it uses less energy than it can get at its maximum distance. I don't know. Yeah. But that could be a challenge right now. That's the kind of inefficiency problems that it's running into. I think typically when you try to transmit electricity through an electromagnetic beam, you get about 20% on the other end of what you sent out. And that's even a step backwards from what the Jet Propulsion Lab did. They got 49% across a mile. So I guess they just didn't tell anybody how to do what they did, because we're still catching up to what they did in 1975. But so even if you're like, okay, we're getting 20% of the electricity that we are generating, converting to an electromagnetic wave, transmitting to another receiver, and then converting back to electricity, we're losing 80% of that. That is ridiculously inefficient. And people in the industry, which is basically just nothing but startups and venture capitalists right now, are saying, whoa, yes, that's true. That's ridiculously inefficient. But we're talking about replacing batteries right here. And the cost of the electricity that is wasted is like 5,000 times less than the cost of a AA disposable battery. So really, if you look at it in terms like that, we're not that far off from it being cost effective if we can use it to replace batteries, disposable batteries.
Yeah, and one of the cool pieces of cool parts of this tech is, let's say you have a room that's set up to charge everything in there. It's apparently with this Osea system, it's bouncing all over the room, pinging like 100 times a second. So it's not like if you turn your back, it's not shooting waves through your body. And we'll get to safety here after the break. Mm-hmm. But regardless of that, it bounces around you. If you have your phone up to your head, it will bounce around your head off the back wall to hit the back of that phone.
Oh, really? The Osea system does that?
Yeah, supposedly. Oh, cool. And only delivers power like if something needs it, so it's not constantly on. Mm-hmm. And supposedly will prioritize whatever's in the room that needs juice the most.
Smart. Yeah, because just like RFID tags, that charger is constantly surveying the stuff in the room that have
right.
a CODA receiver attached to it and saying like, where are you at? What's your levels? You need some juice? I got some for you. And they're like, no, not right now. I'm good. Okay, but I'm here if you need it, kind of thing. Yeah, so I didn't know that it actually went around people, though, which is that's a big deal, because that's a genuine concern at this point. If you're beaming electricity throughout a home, if you're creating an electrical field that's just indiscriminately moving everywhere in a room, it's going to come in contact with things that are conductive. So like one issue I've seen raised is the idea that your pots and pans are going to get super hot just sitting in the drawer in your kitchen.
Yeah. That's no good.
If you're using microwaves, if the microwave is powerful enough, it can cook you from the inside out. That doesn't seem to be a threat. I mean, the people who are designing these things are like well aware of the dangers of microwaves cooking human beings. So the stuff they're like deliberately setting these things at levels that wouldn't be able to do that. But it just kind of goes to show like that's the stage that we're at. It's like that's still technically possible with what we're doing. Laser beams can still shoot you in the eye. They could still burn your skin.
Yeah, those are the ones that don't ping around the room. If it's laser-based, then you have to have a direct line.
Yes, and supposedly if you get in between the laser and the receiver, it just automatically turns off. But, you know, there's still that moment that singes your hair.
Yeah, or you could have the high-tech mirrored system like any bank security in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sorry, museum security probably.
Oh, yeah, like the...
Like shooting the lasers all around?
The grid, yeah, for sure. That's awesome.
And then before you know it, Catherine Zeta-Jones is slinking underneath one of those things.
Yeah, and you're like, what are you doing in my kitchen?
You're too old to be slinking around like that, lady. You're going to pull a muscle.
So what else is there?
Well, we should take a break probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we'll come back and finish up with the serious future right after this.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today. All right, Chuck. So we're talking about future applications that, like, this is the real whiz-bang stuff that I'm just really jazzed about because we're approaching that dream that Tesla had of fulfilling that dream of basically creating a world where everything's just getting wireless power all the time.
Yeah, so there's a group called the Persistent Optical, this is a plan, the Persistent, and this, God, we love our acronyms, is one of the best.
This is a good one.
The Persistent Optical Wireless Energy Relay. What does that spell?
Power.
What have you got?
Power.
It's a great one. I love it when it perfectly aligns like that. And that was proposed by the U.S. Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which we all know as DARPA. And this is a situation where they could beam electricity from a web of aircraft mm-hmm. flying above onto the ground into, let's say, either, Libya said a conflict zone, but maybe a disaster zone where there's no power on the ground anymore and people are dying, mm-hmm. potentially a web of aircraft above could shoot this stuff down to the ground.
Yes, but it does have immediate military applications because just like how, people were saying like, wait a minute, We have 20% efficiency of the electricity we're transmitting here.
Yeah.
The same thing is running into this problem too. Like there's a loss of efficiency, but even if there's a massive loss of efficiency, it's still more efficient than literally flying in tanks of oil and gasoline.
Yeah.
Into a conflict zone or disaster area, filling up generators and then plugging into those. It'd be still much more efficient than that. And because it'd be more efficient, because it would just give such a ridiculous advantage on the battlefield, this is probably coming down the pike.
Yeah. But like you said, they have a leg up because it's so inefficient. The alternative that we've been using is that it doesn't have to be as efficient as like a home version that we're talking about for people to get on board. Because that's one of the problems is people aren't going to start buying this stuff up. Even that cool system we were talking about for like one room, you'd have to be have a lot of money and be a super into early tech adoption to just kind of show it off to friends at this point. To make it mass marketed, they have to make it so everybody sees the benefit and can afford it. And that's not the case with these potential military applications.
No, but it's sad but true that the like military research and development has trickled down to a lot of really important consumer items the years too, and this could be the same exact thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a group in New Zealand called MROD, and they are basically creating line of sight towers to where that just beams from one to the other, basically like those bonfire towers in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, but rather than like line of sight, you're transmitting electromagnetic waves carrying energy. And then at the other end, or probably at each one of these transmitters, you're able to convert it to usable electricity and then, you know, power up a disaster area, a rural area, whatever area you want to.
I don't remember that from Lord of the Rings. Was it just a signal over long distance?
Yeah. Like that.
Like a visually signal?
Yeah. From like mountaintop to mountaintop. They had like a bonfire and then somebody else noticed it and they lit their bonfire. And it was like a transmission of information. That's what we're talking about. In much the same way that Wi-Fi transmits information, we're talking about the same exact thing using the same essentially kind of electromagnetic spectrum, but instead to transmit energy rather than information.
Yeah, absolutely. Like people don't freak out over Wi-Fi being beamed through their house, and it's essentially the same thing.
Some people do, like Chuck McGill from Fallwood.
No. I haven't seen that, but I know there are people. Yeah.
So there's a really exciting application with that New Zealand structure where it's like tower to tower. Yeah, the MROD one is you could transfer wind energy from remote places to an urban area that really needs that electricity, solar, all those renewables. So it's like the fatal flaw is like they're too far away from the grid. Nope, not any longer. You can transmit it wirelessly through New Zealand at least.
Well, talking about being too far away, think about being in outer space and having a web of satellites outfitted with these huge solar panels far above the Earth that could transmit energy down as microwaves. That is not out of the realm of possibility. In fact, it's even been done just last year in 2023. Caltech Space Power Project, they sent a detectable amount of energy from a satellite to Earth.
Wow.
I don't think they were charging a car or anything like that, but they showed that it's possible.
Yeah, and get this, Chuck. I mean, aside from the infrastructure cost involved, that's free energy. You're just taking solar energy and transmitting it, even if it's just a little bit and there's a massive loss of efficiency. You're not burning coal to get that. You just built a satellite that's harvesting it out in outer space, which is a huge advantage, you know?
Totally.
That's like the first step toward a Dyson sphere, really, if you think about it. I love it. That's the one I was jazzed the most about.
The satellite one?
Yes. Harvesting solar energy in space and transmitting it as usable power down on Earth. That is jazz-worthy for sure.
Totally.
You got anything else?
I got nothing else.
All right. Well, Chuck has nothing else. Neither do I. We'll just have to sit and wait and see what the future holds. And while we do that, Let's say it's time for listener mail.
This is an email, again, from our old buddy Mark Kuntz. Mark and Gail Kuntz in the Ohio area, longtime supporters and pals. And this is what Mark has to say. And you might remember Mark. He's an art therapist. Hey, guys, licensed art therapist and the director of mental health services at the Clark County Education Service Center in Springfield, Ohio. My team worked extremely hard to provide sources of strength to as many students as we can in the state for free. Most people assume that suicide prevention work focuses on sad, shock, and trauma, but we run a program in our schools called Sources of Strength, which, capital S, by the way, which focuses on hope, help, and strength. Sources of Strength is made possible to us through funding and support from the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation and Prevention First. Sources of Strength is more than just suicide prevention. It's an overall wellness program focusing on 8 protective factors, some of them being positive friends, healthy activities, generosity, stuff like that. It is free to all Ohio students and can be started in the classroom as early as kindergarten. Meanwhile, the junior high and high school students can work with adult advisors of the program to run school-wide campaigns and events. Only skimming the surface here, guys, so if you live in Ohio, you should look up sourcesofstrengthohio.org to learn more about it and become one of the many schools participating. Mm-hmm. If you don't live in Ohio, you can still be a part of the movement that's taking place in the U.S., Canada, and Australia by going to sourcesofstrength.org. And that is from our old buddy, Mark Kuntz.
Well, thanks a lot for that, Mark. Good to hear from you as always. And if you want to be like Mark and talk about some amazing stuff you're doing so we can tell everybody else about it, we love that kind of thing. You can wrap it up and send it off to stuffpodcast@iheartradio.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.